Welcome to the Pain Relief World Summit. This is your host, Jessica Ortner. By listening to this call, you represent that you have read, understand, and agree to the disclaimer at painreliefworldsummit.com/disclaimer. The views presented in this call are those of the presenter and not necessarily of the host or the tapping solution. Our intention is that this educational information helps you become a healthier and happier you. Enjoy. Many people have accepted stress as just part of their daily lives without realizing the awful consequences that come with stress. Stress has become an epidemic in our society, and it eats away at our mental and physical well-being. Digestive upsets, headaches, high blood pressure, a compromised immune system. This is just a short list of a vast amount of health challenges that stress contributes to. So in this interview, we are going to take a hard look at how stress is contributing to your health challenge and what you can do about it to really see results. To lead the way, we are speaking to Carol Look from AttractingAbundance.com. Carol is the author of the popular book, Attracting Abundance with EFT. She is a success and abundance coach in the energy psychology field. And before becoming an EFT master, she was trained in numerous energy psychology methods. Carol was also trained as a clinical social worker and earned her doctoral degree in clinical hypnosis. It is such a pleasure to have her. Welcome, Carol.
Hi, Jessica. How are you?
Good, Carol. This is such an important topic, something that all of us can relate to. So I'd like to start by asking you the accurate definition of what stress really is.
Right. We all use the term, and I think a lot of people aren't completely clear on what it means. They know how they feel in their body, but what's the real definition? And there was a man by the name of Hans Seelig who, decades ago, he actually coined the term stress. And after years of his research and talking about it and writing about it and working with it, he came up with a final definition. He said, basically, stress is the rate of wear and tear on your body, which makes a lot of sense. You know, it's any reaction from a situation that makes us upset or angry or nervous or irritated. And whenever we have a situation in our lives that we interpret a certain way, then the stress reaction starts to happen in our body. So it's any time we have physical, mental, or emotional tension from any situation. It could be a work situation, a family situation, a health issue, anything in our lives that then we react to with this feeling of, uh-oh, I don't have what it takes to take care of this.
Right. So is there anyone that is not affected by stress?
No, everyone has their levels of stress. It's all about perception. So you and I might be affected by different stress loads or different demands. And other people might not be bothered by their social issues or something with their family, but work really gets to them. So we all have a perception at some time that there's too much on our plate, Jess. The demands are just too high, and we can't handle them. That's really what stress means to us is, groan. I can't handle it. Oh, it's too much. I've got too much going on. So
right.
Everyone is affected by stress.
Right. And now, this is the Pain Relief World Summit. So can you tell us about the impact or the connection between stress and pain?
Well, it's so important because they're both signals from our bodies. And because we're human, we tend not to pay much attention to them. You know how in some of these interviews, people are talking about how the pain gets louder and louder when we don't pay attention. Well, when we're not addressing our stress levels, it gets louder and louder and takes more of its toll on our body and mind. So they both build up. Stress and pain both build up when we don't take care of them. And if we can address them, if we can address the stress in our body, if we can address the pains and the physical issues in our body with tapping, we will so greatly improve our lives. But we've got to listen to the signals. So if under stress, you know you tend to talk too fast, or you start to swear, or you drop things, or you drive too fast, or whatever people do under stress, you've got to know that those are the signals that you're tense and uptight and interpreting some situation in your life as a stressor.
Right, right. So it's becoming more consciously aware.
Yes, absolutely.
And Carol, can you tell us why and how stress contributes to us getting sick or being in pain at different times in our lives?
Well, this is what's critical. They have written about the effects of stress on the workplace and on families and how expensive it is to all of us for decades. But really, how we see it energetically as an energy practitioner, stress drains our immune system. So whether your stress is from emotional conflict or old past events that are traumatic or too many demands on you from the boss or your family, whatever it is, it drains your immune system and you don't have enough resources to handle it. How much can you take, Jess? How much can your body take of stress coming at you from all the areas of your life? So basically, you get overloaded with the stress, and that's how it contributes to you getting sick, because as you said in the intro, it really reduces the strength of your immune system by over and over again using all your resources. So if you have a terribly stressed out situation at work, it will demand more of you, which means you have less at home, right? If you're fighting a cold, then it demands, that's a stressor on your system. But eventually, the reasons energy practitioners believe that stress contributes to our getting sick or to having pain is because it lowers our threshold, it lowers that immune system, it lowers our ability to feel and be strong and resilient. And at some point, your body gets overloaded and has to break down somewhere. So, you know, I always tell people the story. I ride the subways in New York City. I don't get every cold or the flu bug that I'm exposed to. I only get them when I'm really stressed out, because the stress overall reduces my strength and my resiliency, and then I'm susceptible.
Carol, you mentioned before that it's important to start becoming conscious of how stress shows up in our lives and the behaviors we tend to have when we're stressed. Can you tell us some of the healthy habits and also some of the destructive ways that you find people are dealing and handling with stress?
Yes, this is important because many times we're not aware that we're stressed out or reacting to the stress in our lives, but we start doing these behaviors. So let's say there's a new deadline from your boss, and it's a really heavy deadline, and it's going to be hard to meet. Positive or adaptive behaviors to that stress might be you make a list of your priorities. You get yourself really organized. You go to bed early because you know you've got a long day ahead of you. You know, things like that that are healthy in response to a stressor that someone has given you. Now, negative, or what we call maladaptive behaviors, would be someone goes home and they start eating too much or drinking too much as a way to handle what the boss has just given them. Some people go home and they suffer from terrible insomnia. Other people spend hours watching TV as a way to avoid the reality of the stressor that's come their way. So you want to be aware, what do you do under stress, right? If you feel overwhelmed, you tend not to be very productive. There are some people who pick fights with people at work and at home to distract themselves. So there are definitely positive reactions and responses to a stressor that's been given to you and negative reactions. But the more we know what we do, how do you handle stress? Do you get irritable? Do you start eating chocolate? Do you pick a fight? Do you, watch too much TV as a way to avoid the truth? What do you do? And then when you start doing those behaviors, the clue to you is, hey, something must be going on. What could I do that's healthier so I don't further drain my body and mind of the strength that I need to handle the stress?
Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense. And Carol, I really would love to jump in and see how we can start to use tapping. You say that there are four specific ways we can clear built-up stress from our body. There are different doors, as you call them. Can you explain this to us?
Sure. We use tapping in so many ways that are effective, but how to use tapping to relieve the stress from your body? Number one, what symptom are you getting physically that makes you know you're under stress? In other words, I get a particular pain and strain in my shoulder when I've been sitting at the computer too long. So that's a stress reaction in my body. So that's number one. You focus on and tap for your actual symptom that is telling you you're under stress. a lot of people get stress headaches, right? Tension headaches. So that's number one. Number two, you tap on the root emotion. So your EF target becomes the fear of the deadline or the anger at your boss or the guilt that you didn't do enough for the kids this week or whatever it is. And you tap on the root emotion that you carry around in your life and in your body that's probably contributing to the pain or to the illness or to the diagnosis. So that's number two. Number three, talk to your symptoms. This is a wonderful way to access what goes on in your body. So if you're getting headaches when you're under stress from work, what you do is you put your hand on that area, right? And you start asking questions. You make connection with that part of your body. Maybe your back gets really sore. Maybe your back goes out when you're under stress. And you start connecting there and say, hi, how are you? How are you? What do you need to tell me? So you're making a connection, because what happens under stress is we disconnect from our body and mind, and we get into a mode of just trying to work faster and harder, and we ignore ourselves. So the tapping experience there, the tapping would be, even though I've been ignoring the stress that's showing up in my back pain, after you put your hand there and try to connect. So it's very, very important to reconnect back to your body and mind. And then the fourth way, the fourth door that we go into when we tap for stress, for the buildup of stress, is for overall relaxation and daily self-care. It's just fabulous. When my clients are doing stress at the end of the day for what's happened to them during the day, I know they're doing well, because you release and relieve what's been built up. And you know this, anytime that you can calm the body and mind down, you're releasing the overall perception of stress. Then you sleep well, you tend to eat well, you tend to be more relaxed, right? And you're able to rest and rejuvenate because your body's relaxed, because you've been doing daily tapping on this overall idea of, I want to feel better, you know, I want to be more relaxed. Because there's a chemistry and a chain reaction of things that happen in our body when we perceive something as too demanding or something as stressful. The hormones start to get ticking and the cortisol starts to race through our body as a chain reaction to our perception, to what we see as pressure, demands on us. The family wants too much from us. Our friends are demanding. Our boss is demanding. When we have that perception, then the chemistry gets going. So anytime people, this is for the fourth one, when anybody can use tapping daily for their overall stress reactions during the day, what's happened to them, that is a wonderful door to go through. So those are the four areas.
Right. Now, I want to focus a little bit on this daily self-care. When someone begins to incorporate tapping into their life to do this, how do they do it? Is it, you know, tapping for an hour? Is it 5 minutes? What do you suggest to your clients?
Well, I wouldn't do too much, because then it's going to be seen as another stress and another chore. So what I would do is have people either during the day or the end of the day take 10 or 15 minutes and review what happened. I was upset by the traffic jam. Well, when you think about the traffic jam, does that still upset you because you were going to be late for a meeting? And if it does, if you get a charge on it, there's a tappable issue. I'm upset because my son's teacher called from school and I couldn't get back to her, and it's just on my mind and I'm irritated. Number two. Number three, what else happened today? Number four, what else happened today? Somebody called and needed something from you. So I would take the things that happened during your day that when you think about them now are still kind of, you know, nagging at you, and you tap for those. That's one way to do it. Another way to do it is at the end of the day, scan your body and mind. Where are you feeling kind of uptight or stressed out or tense? What topics, what subjects, you know, where do you feel them in your body, and what are you thinking about that irritates you? You know how people go to bed and they try to go to sleep with so many things on their mind, you wonder why people have insomnia. So think about, what are the things from the day that are still weighing on you? And then tap for those. And it really, not only will you clear your any kind of sleeping problems, but you will wake up more refreshed and ready for the next day, even if you have quite a challenging day to handle with your family and at work.
Right. And Carol, if you find that someone is tapping and they're not specifically focusing on the pain that they want to have relief from, but they're focusing on the stress, can they still get results, with their physical pain?
Yes, because stress contributes to pain in tension. Stress causes tension in poor circulation, right? What we do is we kind of contort our shoulders or different parts of our body. We tighten them physically, and that can contribute. Let's say you already have a pain and it's legitimate pain. Something happened to you. You tripped and fell. Well, when you're under stress, the electricity and the energy isn't flowing cleanly through your body. And that's what we do with tapping, is we allow the energy and electricity to flow. So anytime, no matter what your pain symptom, anytime you have pain, if you reduce your overall stress on a daily basis, you are going to ultimately be reducing your pain and your symptoms, because stress, we know stress contributes to that.
Mm-hmm. Well, Carol, we're going to be doing a lot of tapping, but first I think it's important to mention that you believe that there are four main areas of our life that's affected by stress. And it's good for us to be aware of these and start maybe even taking down notes as you cover these to see what relates to us and what's stressing us out. So can you tell us these four main areas?
So yes, there are four areas where stress comes from in our life that affects us overall, and we can do so much good with the tapping to reduce that stress. So first of all, there's our health. So let's say you have a sleeping problem or a pain issue, or you've been diagnosed with an illness. That is going to cause you a tremendous amount of stress. And the stress that it causes you, of course, cycles back into your body and can contribute more to those problems, right? So stress from our health, a big deal. Our bodies and our health, our physiology, it's so important to us because we feel vital or vibrant or strong when our health is really powerful. And when it's not, when we've been diagnosed with something, we tend to feel weak and upset and frustrated with our bodies. So that's a stress cycle that happens.
So Carol, besides tapping on the stress that's contributing to pain, it's also important to tap on how the pain is contributing to the stress. It's almost like this, it seems like it becomes this vicious cycle.
That's why I believe people can completely change their lives if they focus on tapping on stress every day.
Right.
Because it is a cycle. And stress, of course, affects your health, and your health issues will, of course, contribute to the stress you perceive going on in your life. So it's a lot of bang for the buck when people tap on what is upsetting them. So if you have a health problem and you have to go to the doctor monthly now to get it taken care of or do whatever, that's going to cause you stress, and you need to tap on that. Mm-hmm. So it's a wonderful way to continue to allow yourself to access all these resources. You know, we're about resources. We have a lot of resources in our life, physically, mentally, emotionally. And if they're all being drained out because we're trying to manage some part of our life, you know, then we're going to feel worse and feel weaker. So it's really, really important. So when you tap on the stress and reduce your perception of stress and reduce the pain, you know, you've had lots of, interviews about reducing the actual symptoms, then you feel better overall. And you feel like you can manage your life. We all have very, very busy lives. And the more you feel empowered to manage your life through the tapping, the better off. So that's number one, is our health, of course. What about stress from relationships? Now, this could be from a romantic relationship, from your family. Maybe you have a new baby in the family. Maybe you have older children who are going to college. The relationship with your colleagues and your friends and your boss. I mean, we're all about relationships, Jess, right? So what stress is coming from your relationships that you need to tap on? Maybe you had an argument with your sister and you need to tap on that. Maybe you're having an issue with seem to have a couple of clients who have elderly parents that they need to work with and help, who are having issues with Alzheimer's and they need to be put in homes. You know, that is so unbelievably stressful for them with that relationship. So adult people who are working with their parents who are failing in their health, just it's profoundly painful to watch that happen. So relationship issues can be, again, you with your 2-year-old or you with your parent and everything in between.
And I do want to mention, Carol, for those who are listening, the reason that we're bringing up these different stressors is our hope is that people start to look at their own life. So I recommend for those who are listening, if something relates to you or something comes up, jot it down because that gives you a tapping target.
Absolutely. And there's not a single person listening, Jess, who doesn't have some kind of stress in one of their relationships and maybe 5 or 10 of their relationships.
Right.
So we all have them. We all have health issues. You know, there are some people who are just even anxious to hold on to good health. That's a stressor. So that's number one and two, health and relationship issues. Number three, job stress. Who doesn't have job stress, right? So again, whether it's with your colleagues or it's about meeting a deadline or it's about your boss and what they've given you to do that you think isn't fair, maybe the stress on your job is feeling underappreciated. That's a stressor. And that will come out in your body. Our point in doing this interview, Jess, is that the stresses we try to handle in our lives in all these areas, they eventually come out in our body. They have to. There's no place else to go. If we're not taking care of them, there's no place else for them to go but to come out physiologically.
Right. Okay. And so what's the next, the final one that we should target?
The final one is financial stress. That people are worried about money, they're worried about their finances, they're upset about what's going on in the economy, and that causes them to stay up at night. It causes them to get a tension headache. It causes them, suddenly their arthritis feels worse because they're all worried and upset about finances. So those four areas, and we recommend, you and I recommend, Jess, that to tap along everyone, even if you don't have one of those issues, maybe you only feel stress from health and relationships. Even if you don't feel that you're stressed out by one of these topics, we'd really like you to tap along because I think it's really important.
Okay. Well, then why don't we just jump into that? I'd love to begin doing some tapping.
All right. So stress, let's take number one, stress around your health. One of the main things that you can do to help yourself reduce the stress that you've got connected to your health issues is what I call the diagnosis trauma. The trauma, let's say you've had a diagnosis, and many thousands of people, Jess, are listening to this summit because they've been diagnosed with something. Well, one of the things that people focus almost too much on is the symptoms, and they don't deal with what happened when they were diagnosed. It's a very upsetting thing to be half-dressed in the doctor's office, and the doctor comes in and says, I've got some bad news. It's very, very scary, and it's considered a trauma. In my work, it's considered a trauma. So that's most people listening have been diagnosed at some time or another with an illness or pain.
And that stress contributes to the pain even more.
Yes, it makes you more uptight and more stressed out and more tense. Remember, tension in the body means you are, you know, tightening up your muscles, your ligaments, the flow of blood and energy and oxygen and all the liquids, it's not flowing. It's not flowing the way it needs to when you're upset and shocked and hurt or somehow in a bad place because you've gotten a diagnosis.
Right. So let's start doing some tapping, and our hope is that the listeners tap along with us, even if it doesn't directly relate to them. Because you found, Carol, right, that even if someone taps on something that might not relate to them, they can still have benefits.
Yes, absolutely. So diagnosis is one of the places that is ignored, so I really think it's important to get that in here. So start on the karate chop point as usual. Jess, you'll be my echo.
Mm-hmm.
Some people might want to measure this when they think of getting diagnosed last week, last month, last year, 10 years ago. Think about how upsetting it is to you right now in your body when you think about it. Maybe you'll get a number and then you can measure it afterwards. Karate chop. Even though I was traumatized when the doctor gave me the diagnosis.
Even though I was traumatized when the doctor gave me the diagnosis.
I deeply and completely accept myself anyway.
I deeply and completely accept myself anyway.
Even though I was traumatized when the doctor gave me that scary diagnosis.
Even though I was traumatized when the doctor gave me that scary diagnosis.
And I think the fear is still in my body.
And I think the fear is still in my body.
I deeply and profoundly accept myself anyway.
I deeply and profoundly accept myself anyway.
Even though I felt traumatized when the doctor gave me that scary diagnosis.
Even though I felt traumatized when the doctor gave me that scary diagnosis.
I choose to feel calm and peaceful.
I choose to feel calm and peaceful.
And then we go to the eyebrow point. I'm still traumatized by the diagnosis.
I'm still traumatized by the diagnosis.
Side of the eye. My head was spinning.
My head was spinning.
Under the eye. I'm so stressed out by the diagnosis.
I am so stressed out by the diagnosis.
Under the nose. And I'm so afraid of what could happen.
And I'm so afraid of what could happen.
Chin. This scary diagnosis.
This scary diagnosis.
Collarbone. And I didn't realize I had been hurt by that.
And I didn't realize I had been hurt by that.
Under the arm. It was so scary when I heard it.
It was so scary when I heard it.
Top of that. It feels good just to validate that.
It feels good just to validate that.
Good. Take a deep breath. Because no matter what the diagnosis is, people have thoughts and feelings and they have a history, they have an idea of what's going to happen. So no matter what the illness or disease or pain symptom syndrome was that you were diagnosed with, your head starts to go crazy. And just to acknowledge it and say, wow, that was a part of it too, because people are kind of obsessed, and I understand it, I am too, with the actual symptom, the pain, the throbbing knee, the back problem, the elbow problem. You know, people are really focused there. But if you can unpack what happened when the doctor gave you bad news, you can loosen up some of the stress in your body that is tightening around the symptoms and making you more afraid. That's what we hope. That's what I've certainly seen in my practice.
That makes sense. And what is another aspect within the stress around health that would be important to tap on?
I would say fear of the future, because let's say you've been given a diagnosis. Now what? Now all you think about is, I'm going to start to lose movement in my knee, or you know, someone gets an arthritic diagnosis and they start to be worried because the doctor might say, okay, your range of motion is going to get less and less as you age with arthritis. What about when people say to people about migraines or about headaches? Oh, well, you know, this is what it's going to be like for the rest of your life. The future doesn't feel very hopeful for many people who get diagnosed. So I think fear of the future is a good one.
Okay, let's do some tapping.
Again, people listening, if you would measure that when you say I'm afraid of the future because of my health, 0 to 10, what number do you get? And then we'll tap on it, and please check after Jess and I have finished the tapping. Karate chop. Even though I don't know what my future holds now.
Even though I don't know what my future holds now.
I'm scared of this illness that I have.
I'm scared of this illness that I have.
I deeply and profoundly accept who I am.
I deeply and profoundly accept who I am.
Even though I'm afraid of my future with this pain.
Even though I'm afraid of my future with this pain.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
Even though I'm afraid of the future now.
Even though I'm afraid of the future now.
What if I get worse?
What if I get worse?
I accept who I am and I accept my body.
I accept who I am and I accept my body.
Eyebrow, I'm afraid of my future.
I'm afraid of my future.
Side of the eye, what if I get worse?
What if I get worse?
Under the eye, I'm afraid of my future.
I'm afraid of my future.
Under the nose, I'm afraid of the pain.
I'm afraid of the pain.
Chin, I'm afraid of my symptoms.
I'm afraid of my symptoms.
Collarbone, the doctor said it might get worse.
The doctor said it might get worse.
Under the arm, I have all this fear in my body.
I have all this fear in my body.
Top of the head, and I want to let it go.
And I want to let it go.
Good. Take a deep breath. Good. And that might loosen it up for people. They can test again and tap on that again. Because the truth is, we don't know the future. We don't know what's going to happen. And many of us have the impression that symptoms do get worse. So if you have a family member who's had some problem with their back and you inherited it and you got the same problem, you might be watching them, even though they're decades older than you are, and fearing, oh no, what if that happens to me? I know a mother and son where the mother has MS and the son is an adult now and he's got no symptoms of it, but I know because they've told me he thinks about it all the time. He's worried that he's going to inherit that. So this fear of the future is very, very important. Again, the symptoms, symptom tapping is wonderful, but if you can get to the deep emotional core of what's going on inside of you about having pain, fear about it. What if you become dependent? What if it doesn't get better? What if the medication doesn't work? What if the doctors don't know enough? If you can keep tapping on that, it's the truth of what's going on in your mind and your energy, and you will have great relief physically and emotionally.
Right. And our intention with this tapping is to help people gain momentum and simply get started. So if anyone is still feeling any intensity, we hope that they either pause the audio or continue doing tapping afterwards. But this is really just to get people started. Carol, I'd really like to do some tapping on each of these different issues, and we're running a little short on time. So if you could just quickly tell us some other aspects that we can tap on when it comes to health, and then we'll do some tapping on the other areas.
Perfect. So of course, the actual symptoms, be very, very specific. I have this throbbing knee pain. I have this headache, right? I have itchy skin, whatever it is, that's your target for EFT, and go for it. Even though I have this terrible pain in my back. So go for the symptoms, right? Go for the pain symptoms. Also, another emotional issue that comes up with health is that sometimes we feel betrayed by our bodies. We can feel angry or disappointed or just upset that our bodies are starting to produce symptoms. And especially with aging, people get very caught up in the aging process and what's happening to them. So there's another great target for the health issues that cause you stress, which then stresses out and contributes to your health issues.
Right.
So those are two more.
Great. And now let's move on to financial issues, which I know is a challenge many people are facing nowadays.
Yes. And here's the connection, is that stress about financial issues or struggles show up in your body. That's what we know, is that when you're really stressed out, it tends to exacerbate symptoms you already have. It tends to restrict the blood flow. You tend to get headaches, not feel good, not feel as happy or joyful, and you certainly don't sleep as well when you're really worried about something. So let's do some tapping, and let's just assume it's showing up in the body, because that's a wonderful way to address physical pain through the stress.
A quick question first, Carol. If someone's listening to this and they're feeling like they are, they're maybe rebelling against this idea because they feel that, of course, they should be stressed because their finances are in, they are in a lot of trouble, and they feel like if they let go of the stress, they're not going to do what needs to get done to turn things around.
Well, what I would say is, when you're really stressed out, you're not as smart as you need to be. You're not as resourceful, and you're not as creative. I certainly know that personally and professionally. So if you can reduce your stress reaction to what's going on with your finances, you're going to come up with new ideas. You're going to come up with new projects. You're going to have the resources physically and emotionally to address some topic that's going on at work. But not when you're under... See, stress is very limiting. It slows us down. It makes us, have a narrow view. So we're not arguing. We're not saying it's not stressful. Absolutely, what's going on may be stressful in your life. But if you reduce the buzz in your head of stress, if you reduce the feeling of overwhelm, then you actually get better ideas of how to handle the problem you do have.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. So with that, let's do some tapping.
All right. Again, if people would like to, they can do two things. They can measure the level of stress they have about finances, or measure, if you understand that financial stress is showing up in your knees or your arthritis or your sore throat, then measure that. Measure the symptom. So you can do it either way. All right? Karate chop. Even though this financial tension is making my illness flare up.
Even though this financial tension is making my illness flare up.
I deeply and profoundly accept who I am.
I deeply and profoundly accept who I am.
Even though I have all this financial stress in my body.
Even though I have all this financial stress in my body.
And it's showing up as bad symptoms.
And it's showing up as bad symptoms.
I accept who I am.
I accept who I am.
Even though my financial stress is real.
Even though my financial stress is real.
And it's showing up as painful symptoms.
And it's showing up as painful symptoms.
I accept who I am anyway.
I accept who I am anyway.
eyebrow point. This financial stress is really bothering me.
This financial stress is really bothering me.
Side of the eye, I have a lot of stress about my financial situation.
I have a lot of stress around my financial situation.
Under the eye, and it's not helping my body.
And it's not helping my body.
Under the nose, my money anxiety is showing up in my body.
My money anxiety is showing up in my body.
Chin, all this financial stress.
All this financial stress.
Collarbone, it just feels good to validate it.
It just feels good to validate it.
Under the arm, because the financial stress has been showing up in my body.
Because the financial stress has been showing up in my body.
Top of the head, and I want to relax and feel better.
And I want to relax and feel better.
Good. Take a deep breath. So again, we're not arguing that it's not a stressful situation, but any time you can reduce the physiology of a stress reaction, you've got more resources. This is why it is so powerful to tap on any kind of stressor in your life if you want to feel better physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually.
Mm-hmm. It makes a lot of sense. Carol, what are some other aspects that are within this financial category that people can tap on?
Well, again, there's fear of the future. So there's fear of what's going on now. Does your bank account, do you have enough in your bank account that's matching the bills that are coming in? So that's the current. Then there's the future. I had a client recently who said, how am I going to provide for my family? Because he felt that his work was getting smaller and smaller and the boss was kind of taking different jobs away from him. So there's the current, and then there's the future financial stress, just worry about the future. And some people have to tap on stress of finances from their past, from their family. Anything about abundance and finances from that they learned from their family. So lots of areas, lots of good areas where you find there is a stress reaction around money and finances.
Absolutely. Great. And with that, I'd like to move on with stress around our jobs.
Okay. We all have it. I know I've got a deadline coming up right now that I'm really focusing on and thinking about. So what you want to do is take the stress from your job that you're seeing and perceiving and measure it. How high does it feel? Is it about your boss? Is it about a deadline? Is it about just having too much work? Do you just feel overwhelmed? Maybe you just feel overwhelmed at work. That's certainly a stress. And then when you're overwhelmed, Jess, you don't tend to be as careful when you're writing the report. Maybe there are typos. Maybe you're not doing your best work. So again, anytime we can reduce your stress, you are a better you in your family, in your job, with your finances, and with your health. Okay, so let's say let's do one on overwhelmed, because so many people come to me to workshops with that. Let's say you're overwhelmed. Measure that. 0 to 10, how overwhelmed do you feel right now? Okay, everybody see if you can write down a number if you feel overwhelmed about job stress, no matter what your job is. Okay, karate chop point.
Even though I have this stress about my job.
And it's showing up in my sleep.
And it's showing up in my sleep.
I accept who I am.
I accept who I am.
Even though I feel overwhelmed at work.
Even though I feel overwhelmed at work.
How am I going to get it all done?
How am I going to get it all done?
I choose to feel calm and peaceful.
I choose to feel calm and peaceful.
Even though I feel overwhelmed by this impossible deadline.
Even though I feel overwhelmed about this impossible deadline.
And there's too much pressure at work.
And there's too much pressure at work.
And of course it's showing up in my body.
And of course it's showing up in my body.
I deeply and profoundly accept myself.
I deeply and profoundly accept myself.
Eyebrow, I'm overwhelmed at work.
I'm overwhelmed at work.
Side of the eye, and it's showing up in my body.
And it's showing up in my body.
Under the eye, I feel overwhelmed at work.
I feel overwhelmed at work.
Under the nose, and it's showing up in my body.
And it's showing up in my body.
Chin, I feel so stressed out about my job.
I feel so stressed out about my job.
Collarbone, and I can feel it in my body.
And I can feel it in my body.
Under the arm, what if I slow it down?
What if I slow it down?
Top of the head, what if I choose to feel relaxed anyway?
What if I choose to feel relaxed anyway?
Good. Take a deep breath. And you could measure that again. And then you might want to do another round or two saying, I can be relaxed even though I have stress at work. You want to have both at once. Even though the boss has given me an impossible deadline, I choose to feel relaxed anyway. Mm-hmm. Even though work pressure is showing up in my shoulders or my headaches or my symptoms, I accept who I am anyway. They are absolutely linked, Jess. There is research for decades about stress and how it comes out in our body, and we have powerful tools to reduce this problem.
Right. Carol, you just mentioned some what many people call the choices method, where you choose to feel something instead. When is it the best time to start incorporating choices as well as positive affirmations?
I wouldn't do the positive affirmations till later. You want to name the problem, address it, and validate yourself for having the feeling. So I have so much stress. I accept myself anyway. So maybe the second or third round, you could say, I choose to feel hopeful. I choose to feel relaxed. What happens if you do it too quickly, some people react to that. And they say, I can't choose to be relaxed. Are you kidding? If you had my job, you could, you know. So they start to get they have another reaction. So I would just wait to do the positive and the choices to maybe the second, third, or fourth round. Or if you feel comfortable, anybody listening, if you like that, I choose to feel relaxed anyway. That's a very empowering second half of the setup statement. Even though I have this stress, even though I'm overwhelmed by stress at work, I choose to feel relaxed anyway. So there's really no rule for it. It's really what feels best to you or to your client or to your friend.
Right. That makes sense. And now let's move to the final category, which is relationships. Can you give us some examples of what to tap on?
Sure. So let's say you've just had a breakup. That's a biggie for people, right? And you feel rejected and your heart hurts. What you would do is measure that. How high does that feel? How upsetting does that feel? And then you tap on that. What about the stress from fighting in your relationship or fighting in your family? That's showing up in your body. What about family turmoil? So we could do a quick tapping on that.
Okay, let's go for it.
All right. Karate chop. Even though the fighting stress is showing up in my body.
Even though the fighting stress is showing up in my body.
I deeply and profoundly accept myself.
I deeply and profoundly accept myself.
Even though all the stress in my family keeps showing up in my body.
Even though all the stress in my family keeps showing up in my body.
I choose to feel calm and peaceful.
I choose to feel calm and peaceful.
Even though I have a lot of stress about my relationships.
Even though I have a lot of stress about my relationships.
I accept who I am anyway.
I accept who I am anyway.
Eyebrow, this relationship stress.
This relationship stress.
Side of the eye, I think about it all the time.
I think about it all the time.
Under the eye, and it keeps showing up in my body.
And it keeps showing up in my body.
Under the nose, this family relationship stress.
This family relationship stress.
Shin, it keeps showing up in my body.
It keeps showing up in my body.
Collarbone, this relationship stress is showing up in my body.
This relationship stress is showing up in my body.
Under the arm, and that's okay.
And that's okay.
Top of the head, I'm choosing to deal with the stress.
I'm choosing to deal with this stress.
And I choose to feel calm no matter what.
And I choose to feel calm no matter what.
Good. Take a deep breath. And again, if there's something specific, if you have something with your adolescent, if you have something with your spouse, something with your boss, or, you know, an issue with anybody in your life, make it very specific and scale it on the 0 to 10 point scale and then tap on that stress. Then you're more open, you're more creative to solutions. So again, the bottom line is when you reduce your stress reaction, you become more creative and more solutions are accessible to you. It's a wonderful way to deal with all the stressors in your life.
Yes, definitely. And Carol, as we wrap up here, I know many times when people learn tapping for the first time, the biggest complaint or struggle that they have is that they're nervous they're doing it wrong, that they're not saying the right words. So what do you suggest to someone who feels like they're nervous they're not doing it right or saying the right words while they tap?
What I say is just tell the truth. If you pretended to call up your best friend and tell them the story, what would you say? Even though I'm so mad at my body right now for the pain symptoms, if that's the truth. So there's no right or wrong way to do it. The most important thing is to be tuned in to the emotional problem or physical problem you have and just describe it the way you would describe it to a friend. So tell the truth and you're doing it right.
And Carol, what if someone's been listening to this entire interview and they're nodding their head as you mention all the different aspects of stress, and now they're feeling a bit overwhelmed because they realize they have a lot of stressors in all these different areas of their lives? What do you suggest they do to feel less overwhelmed, and where should they start?
Well, the first thing you can do is measure the overwhelm and tap on that. It's very effective, and then you can get more specific. So first tap on the overwhelm, and then take the loudest stressor. So when we were talking, if the work stress really jumped out at you, take one at a time. Don't do them all. Just do one at a time. Maybe today you work on your job stress. Tomorrow you deal with some relationship stuff. It's just what's bothering you right now. What feels front and center? All right. But the good news is all that stress was going on. We've just made it more conscious. That's actually good news, because now you can work on it and reduce all the symptoms and reduce what it's the havoc it's wreaking in your body by not paying attention to it.
That makes a lot of sense. Well, Carol, I mentioned in the beginning that stress has become an epidemic in our society that eats away at our mental and physical well-being. So this information is just so vital for people to incorporate into our lives. And I think we are all, including myself, realizing the impact of stress and how we need to take this very seriously. So thank you so much for all your wisdom and for giving us the tools to let go of the stress that's holding us back.
My pleasure. Just remember, everyone, anytime you're reducing emotional conflict or challenges, you're helping your physiology and reducing the potential for pain and illness. So it's all good news, Jess.
Thank you so much for tuning into the Pain Relief World Summit. If you found this information useful and would like to listen to it again, share it with friends and family, or dive deeper with the workbook, transcripts of the calls, and bonus sessions, please consider upgrading to one of our gold or platinum packages. You can find details on the page below. Until next time, take care and keep tapping.